right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the Rumble chat tonight. JGCK is on. Mr. Cool Dude is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Graffiti Bug is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Scoot Supergirl 21 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Agravain is on. Sparky 8180142 is on. Golfmaster 1 is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Todd Suff is on. Arcady Angel is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Those Jesus People is on. Michelle Tal is on. Let me see here. Peg McGroin is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Hugo Stiglitz is on. Mike Griffith is on. DK Jackson is on. Jim Brody is on. Motorcycle is on. K4 VMS is on. Uncle Wally is on. Let me see here, scrolling down. Big Jim Go Blue is on. What I just call the great is on. let me see here. LA 106 Times is on. Let me grab a couple more here, scrolling down. Nate Dad 1 is on. Spaz 64 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Granite 24. 68 is on. Confederate 1 is on. Trevman 4003 is on. Only Jesus Knows All is on. Let me grab one or two more. Let me see here. D9597 is on. N Johns is on. And Freedom Rings is on. So anyway, here we go. Well, I got to do a couple things off the pregame. And just one other story that I didn't cover in the podcast via a slide. So Democrats are saying right now about the shutdown. You're in the same rhetoric that I've heard my entire adult life and my entire life, is that Republicans are motivated to give tax cuts to their billionaire donors. Now, who has all the billionaire donors? That would be the Democratic Party. We really don't have any. You're like, Tom, there's got to be one or two. I'm talking about statistically speaking, all the billionaire donors give to the left, not to the right. I mean, who amongst the billionaires is a right winger? The owner of Walmart? Absolutely not. The owner of Facebook? Absolutely not. The owner of Instagram, which is Facebook? Absolutely not. Jeff Bezos, when he was still in charge of Amazon? Absolutely not. Aaron, what do I got? Who owns Apple?
Tim Cook.
Tim Cook? Absolutely not. And you can name a myriad of others.
CEO of Google?
Absolutely not. I mean, one right after another. There are no billionaire Republican donors. There might be one or two, but there are dozens that give to the Democratic Party. They are all leftist. Larry Fink.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. BlackRock is a leftist, a globalist leftist, bourgeois elitist who wants a one world commerce system controlled by him. So there are no billionaire donors. And by the way, I would love to see, show me exactly how, because, you know, we all know the stats that basically 1% of, you know, those are the billionaires and millionaires. So the top 1% give about 40% of all tax revenue. 1% gives 40%. How much more would you like them to give? And believe me, and most of these people are leftists, by the way, who want their salt deductions. What are salt deductions? Those are deductions that when you have exorbitant state taxes like California and New York, you can deduct them from your federal taxes. Trump outlawed that legislated it out of existence or EO'd it out of existence in Trump 1.0, and I believe it's the same now. So, I mean, Biden brought it back. So that's who these people are. They don't actually ever want to get the leftists. What's so funny is the leftists say that Republicans are always trying to protect their billionaire donors, cut tax rates for billionaire donors. But what actually happens is every blue state does that via the SALT benefits. So what they do is they have exorbitant tax rates in New York, California, Oregon, Washington, Massachusetts. But then all of those people are allowed to deduct those tax rates out of their federal tax rates. So they're always protecting their leftist donors. And they're the ones who actually do that. Not really Republicans, but we pretty much have, you know, corporate tax advantages and things like that, which by the way, all the corporations are leftist. Name me one that's not. I mean, really, name me one giant corporation that isn't. Home Depot's leftist, but Lowe's isn't. I mean, there's no way there's this vast amount of billionaire donors to the Republican Party that the Republicans are protecting via tax breaks for their billionaire donors, quote unquote. Because none of them are actually Republican. And by the way, just produce me the list then and show me in the legislation how it benefits billionaire donors. It doesn't. It's just that these packages. Now, Mike Johnson's package, to his credit, his CR, his clean CR, it's 24 pages long. So show us in the 24 pages how it benefits Republican billionaire donors that don't exist. But Hakeem Jeffries can never actually produce any factual data. All they do is spew Democratic Party talking points and platitudes. That's all they ever do. They have no factual data. They have no way to back it up. They can't show you which billionaire donor that this legislation is protecting, because it isn't. And by the way, let me just bring this up to everybody. Even if you confiscated every billionaire's entire net worth in America, if you confiscated every dime of their real estate, their stocks, their cash, their homes, their businesses, if you confiscated it all, it'd be under $5 trillion. Our budget this year, this continuing CR, is $6.8 trillion, which will add $2.3 trillion to our debt and deficit. So even if you do, it's all a mirage. It's just like climate change, where you're going to keep CO2 from coming out of your tailpipe by using an electric car, but instead it comes out of the smokestack at the power plant.
Right.
It makes no sense at all. None of it makes any sense. You can confiscate it. You know, we're going to balance a budget that's $2 trillion. And think about it. This year, this fiscal year runs from October 2025 to October 2026. Even under the Trump plan, we're adding $2.3 trillion worth of debt. Chucky Schumer, Schumer Shutdown, wants to add $1.3 trillion onto the $2.3 trillion that we're already spending over tax revenue. So that would be a total of $3.6 trillion in debt that he wants just this year alone. If you confiscated every billionaire's in the United States, total assets, it barely adds up to that. And that's just 1 year's worth of debts and deficits. All right, so one other thing. So Trump pulled $200 billion out of his hat today. This is a brilliant political move. And he just got, you know, I like Eric Bolling, but he's completely wrong. He's on PBD bashing Trump's tariffs. And I'm like, where, Eric Bolling, where are you at when everybody tariffs the United States? He's always like, I'm all about free markets. It's not free markets, Eric. It's crony capitalism that benefits the very few. These are not free markets. They are stunted, fixed markets of crony capitalism to benefit your political adversaries, Eric. I can't stand people who are so shallow. They just have no understanding of what they're talking about. He just thinks, well, how do I sound like a good Republican? How do I sound like a good conservative? I believe in the open markets. The open markets take care of themselves. They will if it's actually an open market. But if it's crony capitalism, which I don't have time to get into, then it doesn't benefit it doesn't benefit everybody. It benefits very few people, which is where we're at right now. And he's so against tariffs, but not one word ever. I've watched Eric Bolling for years. Not one word ever about the tariffs imposed on us by every country that we're now imposing tariffs on. So when we impose tariffs, it's evil, according to Eric Bolling. But when they've been doing it to us for decades and decades and decades, and really a couple hundred years, that's fine. I mean, can anybody explain that to me, Aaron?
Nope.
Okay. There's no hope. So what Trump did was he's been basically he's up to about $800 billion in tariff revenue that he's bringing in. It would be way higher if it wasn't for Jerome Powell and the Fed with the interest rates. But anyway, so he's been bringing in all this money. So one of the talking points of the left right now with the Schumer shutdown, or day eight, is that Trump has cut off SNAP benefits. And now here's the thing. Here's what I have to say about that. First of all, good. You know, it's time for single women to stop popping out a bunch of puppies so that you get SNAP benefits, i.e. welfare. That's what we used to call it. Now, everyone likes to change. That's what Democrats do. They're not getting welfare. Oh, what are they getting? SNAP paid for by welfare. That's what they always do. Again, that's exactly what they're doing now with emergency rooms and with Medicaid/Medi-Cal. So you go Medi-Cal in Florida. I mean, Medi-Cal in California, which is their state Medicaid system. So that's what's paying for all the illegal medical procedures in California for illegals. And what funds Medi-Cal? Medicaid. So Democrats could say Medicaid's not paying for it. Medi-Cal is, even though Medi-Cal is fully funded by Medicaid. It's the exact same thing here. They're not receiving any, this isn't welfare they're receiving. They're receiving SNAP, which is paid for by welfare. Alvin Bragg, I didn't receive any Soros funds whatsoever. No, you received it from MacBlue, which is funded by George Soros. I mean, that's what it means to be a Democrat, just completely repulsive, disingenuous human beings. So what Trump did was he snapped the SNAP welfare benefits mainly for single mothers and their children weren't being funded. We have a Schumer shutdown right now, day 8, and there's going to run out some days, like 6 days from now or something like that. I'm good. Like, get to work and stop having babies. How's that sound? You know, instead of paying people to have babies, maybe they ought to stop having babies. And by the way, who receives a lot of these SNAP benefits? You know, it's illegals. But anyway, so Trump said, you know, I'm gonna keep the SNAP benefits open using the tariff revenue that I am bringing in that no Democrat has ever brought in and that no Republican has ever brought in, not Bush, not Reagan, not Bush 1, not Bush 2, nobody. He actually has brought in all this tax revenue. And then you have goobers like Eric Bolling bad-mouthing it. What an idiot. What a stupid idiot. So Trump now is funding the SNAP to the tune of $200 billion, where Bolling goes, I think it was on Newsmax, Bolling goes, that's not going to, no, he's on PBD. That's not going to last very long. Well, $200 billion should last quite a while. That's about $100 billion short of what we sent to Ukraine so far. All right, let's go to James Comey. Eric Doherty video just in. James Comey has officially pleaded not guilty to 2 felony federal charges. Play for me.
FBI Director James Comey in front of a judge moments ago in a hearing that we did not think would last long, and apparently that is the case. He has entered a plea of not guilty to 2 charges, federal level now. Our producers inside the courtroom say the former director accused of lying to Congress, obstructing a congressional proceeding, entered the plea moments ago in front of the judge, Michael Nachmanoff, appointed by Joe Biden, not guilty on both federal charges. He's accused of lying in front of Congress back in 2020. So that is the update inside the courtroom. And while that's happening in one part of Northern Virginia, this is happening across...
All right, so that's just the standard news story. He pleads not guilty to the 2 felony charges, obstruction of Congress, making false statements. Now, what's funny is part of Eric Doherty's headline was an army of elderly protesters, because Eric Doherty's awesome. Follow him on Twitter. He's making fun of the Comey protest outside of the court center. So Jordan Conrad said, anybody who watches this video right now and you actually believe that Democrats ever truly win elections, you're out of your mind, because this shows you the passion behind the alleged show trial and the weaponization of the Trump DOJ on the left. Look at their passion. Jordan Conrad's in video, very low energy. Play for me. Man, don't you feel the power? Don't you just feel? Look at Aaron side by side that right there. Let me just leave it as a still. Look at that. Don't you feel the power? Because I'm switching to Bannon right now, because Aaron brought this up, and I'm actually, this is a Steve Bannon video about why Comey wasn't perp walked. Well, it was because he was summoned instead of arrested, which is a real pisser in our eyes. You know, pissing on us, telling us that it's raining. Tell me why, Pam Bondi. Why was he not arrested instead of summoned? Why? Well, we don't want to do that because then they'll do it to us. They already do it to us. It's already out of the bag. Pandora's box is open, moron. You did such a great job yesterday, and somehow you allow Comey not to be perp walked. Aaron brought this up. As Bannon was walked through those exact same doors, at least figuratively, I don't know if it was the exact same courthouse. I'm assuming it was Alexandria, Virginia. But he was walked through those exact same doors, figuratively or literally. And there was, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of leftists all over the place, all over Bannon, and rejoicing in all this. And here they are coming out in support of James Comey. Look at that crowd. Look at that crowd right there. They're just so fervent. This shows you. Right now, we should absolutely, the polls are showing that we are going to win the House back. But If we don't, we should really question. By the way, all the leftists now are questioning the elections. Remember, that's a threat to democracy.
Right.
You're an insurrectionist, a seditious conspiratorialist, whatever it is. They're all questioning the elections now. So we're allowed to do that. So if we actually do lose the midterms or any race during the midterms, we need to ask ourselves, was that election actually legit? Because this is Democratic Party support. How many right wingers would be out there right now for Bannon? How many would be out there for Trump? How many would be out there for Alex Jones? Thousands of us would be out there for protesting. And we'd have, of course, the FBI insurgents in the crowd trying to instigate violence. But that's beside the point. So there it is. This just shows you there's nothing behind. There really is no support on the left. They do have about probably 30% of the population. And they're all alt-left Nazis at this point. They really are to that degree. All right, Grace Chong video, Bannon. They slipped Comey in through another interest. This is bull bleep, says Bannon. The system is on these guys' side. He's there for felonies. Play for me.
I got breaking news. They slipped Comey in through another entrance so he didn't have to come through here. This is bullshit. I don't know who at DOJ and who at the FBI, I hope the White House understands this, that, you know, instead of Navarro and I, and look, I proudly walked in there because I was proud of what I did. And I'm going to have the media, Mike Davis, you know this. You're one of the guys that backed me, one of my lawyers. I was proud. I don't mind backing down the media, but they try to sit there and psychologically break you. So they got that image of you walking in court the entire time. I don't know how James Comey's in court right now. He just pleaded not guilty. Is that correct? On social media? They allowed Comey to do something they didn't allow anybody else to do. This is the problem. The problem is the system is rigged on these guys' side. Okay? It's got to stop. Is Comey going to be shackled? Is Comey going to be strip searched? Why Comey's there for felonies? Navarro and Bannon. Hey, look, I never whined about this at all. It is what it is. And when I went to prison, the audience knows that it is what it is. But I'll be damned if we're going to sit here and allow Comey, who is a total scumbag, and you already see this deck is already they've already stacked this deck right now. Why is Comey not coming in from outside like everybody has to? There's no way of taking you below a thing. And I don't want to hear security. You don't think there was higher security at taking out Steve Bannon or Peter Navarro, right, than James Comey? Mike Davis, how could we have allowed this to happen? Comey's in court.
See, again, how this happened. It's very simple. He was not arrested. He's been in everyone. A lot of people, they don't understand this because you're not in law enforcement. How would you ever understand it? Tom, how do you understand it? Because I was in law enforcement for 25 years as a deputy sheriff right here where I'm sitting. Well, how it works is, like, when you get arrested on the street, if you get arrested, how many people in the chat have ever been arrested? So how many people watching have ever been arrested? But if you get arrested, and some of you were, you've been arrested. A lot of people have been arrested. I should have been arrested. I just didn't get caught. So anyway, I ran from the cops and didn't get caught, so I got away with it. But anyway, in a car. But I digress. But anyway, when you get arrested, you're not even charged at that point. You go to first appearance. And they decide to release, you're not even charged. Who decides whether you get charged or not? What's called a state attorney here and district attorneys in other states. They decide whether you'll actually be officially charged. Comey was charged, okay? He was charged. Via an indictment, he was charged. Instead of sending, I mean, again, let's go through the list. Instead of sending the FBI, the U.S. Marshals, DC Metro, local cops don't care, and they and filed an arrest warrant for him. They didn't do that. They simply summoned him to court, which is, by the way, what you're supposed to do with quote-unquote dignitaries who are not a flight risk, i.e., side-by-side this one for me, would you, Aaron? Just so I can show you. I.e., these two guys who were both arrested and perp-walked.
Yep.
Peter Navarro, Stephen Bannon, arrested and perp walked. So was Michael Flynn. So was Roger Stone. I don't know if Flynn was ever perp walked. I shouldn't say, but I mean, certainly a very public, very public hearing, very public display. But Roger Stone certainly was, and these two guys certainly were. Donald Trump, for all intents and purposes, was perp walked. So what you're supposed to do is actually summon these guys, because all you have to do is call their attorneys and say report to court tomorrow at 9 a.m. You think Bannon's gonna take a flight to Argentina and ask Malay to hide him? No, he's going to show up for court. And by the way, both of these two were charged with misdemeanors. What's Comey charged with?
Felony.
Two felony counts. And he gets a summons, and these two get perp walked and strip searched. You know what that means, don't you? That's a good time had by all. Right? So here you have it. Explain to me why that is. Well, because he wasn't arrested. He was simply summoned to the court. Now, this is what happens with this. Is you got Aaron over here, who's either black-pilled or on the cusp of black-pilled 24-7. So now Aaron's going, you know what? Here it is. As usual, nothing happens. How many of you feel that way? Send it to us in the chat right now. Because again, where are you at, Bonnie? I mean, here you are. You act like a tough girl at the hearing. Why didn't you have him arrested? Because they're afraid of the consequences of arresting him. They're afraid of the consequences of actually arresting him. And who's behind all that? Todd freaking Blanche. Todd Blanche is behind it. He's the assistant. He's the assistant attorney general. The deputy attorney general, the DAG. Todd Blanche. Who's Todd Blanche? Anybody know? Todd Blanche is the one behind the whole Ghislaine Maxwell stuff right now. We're kind of hearing Trump talking about pardoning her. Trump was asked point blank, shouldn't that answer be absolutely not, because she sex trafficked 13 and 14 year olds to be banged by international dignitaries? Didn't that, Aaron, Will, am I wrong? Shouldn't that answer be no?
You think
Trump's asked, you ever pardon? No, he said, I'm going to look at it.
Of course.
Okay, not good. Okay, just not good. Tom, I thought you loved Trump too. Not good though. Not a sycophant, not a worshiper. If you are, stop worshiping Trump and worship Jesus. Okay? That's just some good advice for you. So that's who's behind all this crap. And because Bondi, where does Bondi live? Anybody know? Has to be D.C. She's the AG. No, she's still living in Florida. Yeah. Who's running the show? Todd Blanche himself went and did the interview. I keep calling him the assistant because that's what comes to my mind, but it's deputy AG. The DAG went to Ghislaine Maxwell herself in her prison. And then what? A month later, she's transferred to a country club. It's weird, isn't it? I mean, it's odd. And Todd Blanche is behind Alex Jones. The DOJ has been looking into Alex Jones's persecution via prosecution by the CIA. And somebody put a halt to that. That was Todd Blanche. Huh. And numerous other cases he's putting a halt to also. Strange, isn't it? Well, who is Todd Blanche? Well, he was a Democrat up.
Of course.
Up until January. I'm trying to think, when did he become a Republican? I'm trying to think whether it's 2020 or 2024, but he became one of Trump's attorneys. So I believe it was 2020. So he's a Democrat for his entire life. All right. And then suddenly became, Aaron, you'll find it on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Yeah. And you find it on Twitter. He's a Democrat his entire life. And he was Trump's attorney. Can we all ask ourselves, how many cases did Trump win? Can anybody ask? I mean, can anybody tell me? Before he became president, now he got all the power in his hands. How many cases did he win? Not one that Todd Blanche was ever involved in. Todd Blanche, Aaron says this to me, was registered as a Republican in 2024. I knew it, but I didn't want to jump the gun. This came after he purchased a home in Palm Beach County, Florida, near Trump. Blanche was a registered Democrat. Oh, in the glorious conservative stronghold of New York. He is now the deputy attorney general and former lawyer for Donald Trump. What case did he ever win? None.
Nope.
Not one. He doesn't win any cases ever. Donald Trump lost his. There's no way to lose the New York case, but he did. I don't know. I would take that back. I don't know which case that Blanche was involved in. But I mean, Trump did not have a winning record in his cases. He didn't. He lost the civil case. He lost the E. Jean Carroll case. He lost the criminal case in New York, all funded by Reid Hoffman. He was going to be facing the Fannie Willis case. He's going to be facing the two Jack Smith cases. Eileen Cannon, the judge in West Palm Beach, dismissed one. But he was going to be facing under Tanya Shuckin-style judge in D.C. What did Blanche ever do? Could he be somebody who secretly slipped in among you? Acting like he's on your side and right now behind the scenes, he's the one snuffing out all of these things? I will bet you right now that he's behind Comey not getting perp walked. I will bet you that right now. Why wasn't he perp walked? Because Republicans are afraid of the ramifications of doing it. It's what ramifications you could possibly be afraid of now. These two right here were sitting in federal prison as the only two misdemeanor convictions in federal prison. How do you even go to federal prison for a misdemeanor conviction? But James Comey, and we're both perp walked and arrested, but James Comey charged with two felonies isn't. Everybody, if you watch this podcast, you know the half an hour dissertation I could go into about the Navarro Bannon cases. All right, so where the heck am I? Am I Bannon's War Room?
Yes, sir.
All right, Bannon's War Room video. Dr. Peter Navarro, I was dragged through Reagan Airport in leg irons. Play it for me.
The juxtaposition of my situation, misdemeanor for an alleged crime that wasn't, leg irons arrests through Reagan Airport. We learned yesterday from Senator Chuck Grassley's big reveals that they surveilled me. They didn't regard me as armed or dangerous. They just did it as a circus arrest. They had a dozen agents involved in that. I got the mug shot. I got the handcuffs. I got the leg irons. I got the jail cell. They made me sit there for a couple hours. And then the judge and I go out and face the microphones and the music. I didn't have anybody escorting me out the side door. And then you got Comey, okay? It's like felony, up to 10 years in prison, involved in arguably the worst political conspiracy in America's lifetime that stretched all the way from 2016 when he was at the helm through 2024, multiple times to overthrow the president when he was in office or to stop him from getting elected in 2016, 2020, and 2024. And Steve, the central lesson that I have, I gave it at the Republican National Convention in my speech the day I got out of prison, is if we don't hold them accountable, they will do it again. I went to prison so you won't have to. It's not just a book, it's a wake-up.
So you see the difference. Misdemeanor, federal prison, perp walk, leg irons, and strip searched. Democrat? Walk through a back door, just like the remember the judge who was sending illegals out the back door? Remember that one? Same thing here. Now, James Comey goes in with his family, and they're all sitting there. I mean, I was thinking about this today. You're sitting there with your family, so everybody's pretending this guy isn't a lying, repulsive, disgusting human being, because they all know he is. They all know he's a disgusting, repulsive, lying person. They know he is. They know he made up the collusion hoax. He just made it up. And by the way, this isn't the only charges, allegedly, according to Mike Davis, that he's going to face because he's still going to be looking at conspiracy against rights, which is multiple felonies. So hopefully this isn't the end, and hopefully we get a perp walk. And just for the record, I want a perp walk. I want a perp walk. We deserve a perp walk. James Comey, I wanted his 6'6" frame perp walked into the courtroom like all the Republicans have been. And again, Republicans need to stop being cowards because they're afraid of what Democrats will do to them once they're in power. They're going to do it anyway. So you might as well enjoy it while you're in power. And maybe it'll scare them into not doing it when they're in power because they know when Republicans are in power, it's going to come back on them. Maybe it's time to actually fight instead of being a spineless little worm like most Republicans are. Speaking of that, let's go to Democrats. I love my Democrat. I got my Democrat violence section, just my Democrat section. Let's attack Democrats for the next 30 minutes, shall we? It's fun. All right, so let's pick on Katie Porter. She's running for governor to take Gavin Newsom's place in California. So this is the person who now is going to be looking at the Pacific Palisades. If you believe this, you're crazy. The Seoul Pacific Palisades arsonist was arrested today.
Oh.
The Seoul. That's the guy who must. So this guy, Engelbrick, whatever. I got to make sure I get to it. I'll get to it. It's in this pile right here. Let me get his name. It's whatever it is. I'll get to it at the time. But anyway, Engelbrick, whatever his name is, the white guy arrested him actually in Florida. He's the sole arsonist for the Pacific Palisades fires, burned out 12,000 houses. So I guess he's the one that drained the reservoir. He's the one that never cut back the brush and didn't turn the power off with 80-mile-an-hour winds. Is that the guy? Was he the one that had caused the empty fire hydrants? And not only that, but refused to send out the fire trucks the night before, even though they all knew it was going to be a massive fire. Is that the guy who caused the fire hydrants to be completely empty and devoid of water? That's the guy? I mean, did he probably light a fire? I'm sure he lit a fire, but there's hundreds of people that lit the fires. Why? Because this is all planned. So they can build a 15-minute city right there in Pacific Palisades. And by the way, let's add up, Aaron, let's add up all the houses that have been rebuilt in the last 9 months. shall we? Oh, you know, let's add up all the permits. To my knowledge, 4 total permits have been issued and 0 houses have been rebuilt. Will's favorite topic, Lahaina, Hawaii. 0 houses have been rebuilt. How many years has that been now? 2? Not 1? Nothing's been rebuilt. That's weird. It's almost like they wanted to burn it down and make it impossible to rebuild so they could put their own structures up, right? The globalist leftist bourgeois elitist. One of the big structures going in Lahaina is a Ritz-Carlton. Mm. That's weird, isn't it? Where you actually can't afford to rebuild your home, but you're kind of forced to sell it. That's weird. But anyway, because you can't get a permit. So they just want to issue a permit without legal proceedings and everything else. So if you can't afford, you know, a $600 an hour lawyer, you're not going to be able to get a permit to rebuild your home. But anyway, let's pick on Katie Porter for a couple minutes. Yashar Ali video. This is the woman who is leading the polls to be the next governor for the state of California. Boy, I got a lot to say about her. All right, Yashar Ali video. Someone who used to work with Katie Porter sent me this clip from a train wreck interview with her and said, now imagine what she's like when there aren't any cameras around. Play for me.
What do you say to the 40% of California voters who you'll need in order to win, who voted for Trump?
How would I need them in order to win, man?
Well, unless you think you're going to get 60% of the vote. You think you'll get 60%. Everybody who did not vote for Trump will vote for you. That's what you're
saying. In a general election, yes. If it is me versus a Republican, I think that I will win the people who did not vote for Trump.
What if it's you versus another Democrat?
I don't intend that to be the case.
So how do you not intend that to be the case? Are you going to ask them not to run?
No, I'm saying I'm going to build the support. I have the support already in terms of name recognition. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do the very best I can to make sure that we get through this primary in a really strong position. But let me be clear with you. I represented Orange County. I represented a purple area. Mm-hmm. I have stood on my own 2 feet and won Republican votes before. That's not something every candidate in this race can say. If you're from a deep blue area, if you're from LA or you're from Oakland, you don't have an experience.
But you just said you don't need those Trump voters.
Well, you asked me if I needed them to win.
So you don't
I
think
feel like this is
win.
Unnecessarily argumentative. What is your question?
The question is the same thing I asked everybody, that this is being called the empowering voters to stop Trump's power grab. Every other
Correct.
Candidate has answered this question. This is not
Correct.
Argumentative.
And I said I support it.
So, and the question is, what do you say to the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
Oh, I'm happy to say that. It's the do you need them to win part that I don't understand. I'm happy to answer the question as you have it written, and I'll answer it.
And we've also asked the other candidates, do you think you need any of those 40% of California voters to win? And you're saying, no, you don't.
No, I'm saying I'm going to try to win every vote I can. And what I'm saying to you is that...
Well, to those voters. Okay, so you...
I don't want to keep doing this. I'm going to call it. Okay. Thank you.
You're not going to do the interview with us?
Nope, not like this. I'm not. Not with 7 follow-ups to every single question you ask.
Every other candidate has answered
I don't
our
care.
Follow-ups.
I don't care. I want to have a pleasant, positive conversation in which you ask me about every issue on this list. And if every question you're going to make up a follow-up question, then we're never going to get there.
Ms.
And
Porter,
we're just going to circle around.
I am an investigative reporter.
I have never
reporter.
Had to do this before, ever.
You've never had to have
to
a conversation with
to end
a
an
reporter.
Interview.
Okay, but every other candidate has done this.
What part of I'm me? I'm running for governor because I'm a leader. So I am going to make...
So you're not going to answer questions from reporters? Okay, why don't we go through? I will continue to ask follow-up questions because that's my job as a journalist, but I will go through and ask these, and if you don't want to answer, you don't want to answer. So nearly every legislative...
I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you, and I don't want this all on camera.
I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you either. I would love to continue to ask these questions so that we can show our viewers what every candidate feels about every one of these issues that they care about. And redistricting is a massive issue. We're going to do an entire story just.
Lita Bonita in the chat says she seems arrogant. Now, that's her reputation. She was hated universally by both sides of the aisle when she served in Congress. You see these leftists, they are absolutely impervious. They have no idea what it's like to be challenged because nobody ever challenges them. They're allowed in like James Comey through the back door instead of being perp walked. She's never been challenged, and Aaron brought up a very valid point here. This is CBS, the bastion of right-wing conservatism, now owned by Larry Ellison. simply being asked follow-up questions. What was she asked? What set her off? She was asked, what percentage of the Trump vote will you need to win? That set her off. That set, I mean, because she, and then she simply asked, she goes, I don't need any of them. And the reporter was duly surprised and said, well, you know, how's that going to work out? And then she's all infuriated. Then Katie Porter's all infuriated about this because she's never challenged. She has absolutely no ability to deal with challenge because nobody ever challenges her, including those of us on the right. Now, me and you, those of us in this podcast, yes, we would. But I'm talking about our representatives never challenge people like this because they're afraid of the repercussions of challenging people like this because they'll call you names and say that they're offended and they'll call you a xenophobe, they'll call you a male chauvinist, call you a transphobe, and everybody's scared of that. Be like me and just embrace it. Simply embrace it. Embrace it. And, you know, and she's a leader. She can't even stand side by side at her. Give me your fat photo. If you're a leader, you can't control your own appetite. I mean, look at that beach whale. If she actually went to the beach, harpoons would just start flying through the air. Or people would try to drag her back into the ocean. Help her, help her. Drag her back into the ocean. We got a beach whale over here. All right, so James Cohen video, next one up. New Dan Torrentine's goes scorched earth on Katie Porter. This is in response to that interview, this footage coming out. Play it for me.
Dan, if you were staffing her and she came off, what would you say?
I got to go.
What would you say? What would you say to her if you were staffing her and she did that?
Well, the challenge is that is who Katie Porter is. I spent a lot of time around that office. For those who don't know, she went to Harvard Law School. Elizabeth Warren was one of her professors. She considers herself kind of an accolade of Elizabeth Warren. She is condescending and patronizing. She absolutely believes that she is right. You are wrong. She's smarter than you. It comes across. So, you know, you have to start with, Mark, the fact that, like, you have to sit and ask questions and have respect for the person who's asking you questions. She doesn't respect Trump voters. And she didn't respect those type of questions. You just can't talk to people like that. And that is Katie Porter's problem. It's why so many people dislike her and disliked her in Congress.
Yeah. Do you guys think she's the front runner?
I hope so. We might actually have a chance in California if she is.
She is today because the base loves her.
And again, it's all fraudulent elections in California. If it was a legit election, Aaron, side by side, you can't defeat this face right here. Who? I mean, she has a kid. Who mated with this chick? Ugh. I mean, who had sexual interest in this woman? I don't get it. Dom, you're mean. Don't care. I don't care anymore. All right, so here's some more quality content put out by Katie Porter showing you what kind of person she is. By the way, she's going to win the race. I mean, you know, this is where I'm black-pilled. I mean, we know that she's going to win the race because there's no way to turn around California unless some of Trump's, you know, Benny Johnson's talking about going out there with Scott Pressler and trying to not just register voters, but get an 850,000 person petition to require, voter roll changes, require voter ID. So if that sort of thing happens, maybe, but I don't think that could happen before 2026, especially because it also has to go through, you know, the establishment government out there, which is all, of course, Democrats. But here's more content on her. Katie Porter may not be right for California or sane. That's the wrong video. Colin Rugg video. This is Colin Rugg video with more content. Play it for me.
And I never have to go to the gas station.
That's awesome. And $632 is real money. And I know here at UCI, we have a National Fuel Center Research Center, and they're also doing work on how to make electric vehicles affordable, including for low and moderate income people, working moms, single moms like me, people who really could benefit from an extra $632 in their pocket. And it's also not just the individual savings, but it's also the total savings for our economy. So I'm on the oversight committee, you might know, and that is where we did a study recently this fall in September. And what it showed is if we don't electrify our transportation sector, that we're going to lose more than 500,000 Californians dying prematurely to air pollution and other problems. And the state could lose four. Get out of my fucking shot.
I wanted to tell you that that's actually incorrect. It's not that it's electric vehicles. It's that if we don't meet the commitments under the Paris Climate Accord.
Okay. You also were in my shot before that. stay out of my shot. Okay, I'm going to start again with electric vehicle saving.
There needs to be as many people in your shot as possible to try to distract us from your absolute abject ugliness, both literally and figuratively. And there she is, of course, espousing electric vehicles once again, where she's saving the world by not having CO2 come out of her tailpipe, but come out of the smokestack at the power plant. And by the way, mystery solved. She's a single mother.
Shocker.
So somebody got out of that pool in a hurry. Jumped in, got out. Okay, all right, Kevin Dalton video. Katie Porter may not be right for California. Play it for me.
So on election night, I went to pick up my daughter from water polo practice, and she's 12, and she got in the car and she was crying. And I said, did someone punch you? Like, water polo is a rough sport. Yeah. I was like, did someone hit you? Did the coach yell at you? What happened? And she said, Mom, Trump won. Trump's going to win. And what if I get raped and I need to have an abortion? This is from a 12-year-old, my 12-year-old daughter. Mm. And so it was really a reminder of how scary this time is for people and how important it is for Democrats to have strategies, both at the state level and the federal level, to make sure that we can continue to protect people's rights.
Again, I'm absolutely stunned that anybody actually mated with this woman, and I'm being nice by using the word mated. So anybody actually mated with this woman so they could actually create a 12-year-old child. But how many in the chat, how many of the 1734 that are watching right now have had a 12-year-old daughter? Okay, Will's going to have a 12-year-old. Is she 12 already? Is she really?
Oh, she's 13.
Word. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Gosh, I didn't think she was even in double digits. All right, wow. Anyway, okay, so Will's already had a 12-year-old daughter. I've already had a 12-year-old daughter. Trying to have Aaron mate again. So they'll have more kids. But anyway.
No daughters.
No daughters, yeah, just a son. But anyway, all of us know. I mean, literally, Tom, you can't say all. Bull crap, I can't say all. All of us who've had 12-year-old daughters know that 12-year-olds do not talk like that. So first of all, it's a made-up point, and Will brought up the most valid point of all. If she is actually already talking like that, you have screwed that kid to the place of a mental asylum already.
Yeah.
You've screwed that kid up so bad, they're going to end up institutionalized. Because what 12-year-old comes out from water, first of all, who comes out from water polo practice to begin with, who comes out from water polo practice, starts crying, and as Aaron said, she's crying because you're her mother. But she comes out crying and says, and so she's at water polo, perfectly fine, throwing the balls into the net. Perfectly fine, but then comes out crying into the car. Sounds like a Biden story or a Kamala story.
Exactly.
Well, I talked to this person the other day, and they asked me, no, nobody, that's all, they're all just pathological, disgusting, repulsive, repugnant liars. That's Joey. Who they are. Who's there?
Joey.
Yeah.
Those two men love each other. Yeah.
You sure. Really believe that, right?
Yeah, sure.
So she comes out, and the 12-year-old goes, what if I'm raped? 12-year-olds shouldn't even know what raped is, first of all. But what if I'm raped and have to get an abortion? I mean, what? There are no 12-year-olds who ever talk like this, and not even in this modern age, because listen, I'm around more people than most people. This church that I'm sitting in right now has over 1,000 people that come on Sunday morning. There's no 12-year-olds that talk like this ever. Ever. Kind of looked like Trump right there. So there's just bold-faced lies from a disgusting, disgusting, repulsive human being. All right, jumping off of this, let's go to Democratic Party violence, shall we? Now, we get told, I want to set this up for you. We get told that you and I on the right need to lower our rhetoric after Charlie Kirk gets killed, after Steve Scalise gets shot, after Trump has 2 assassination attempts to get shot once in the year, and Antifa and Black Lives Matter and 30 lives murdered with BLM riots in 2020 and $4 billion worth of damage by BLM with Kamala Harris via the Minnesota Freedom Fund bailing them out to commit more arsons and robberies. We're told to lower our rhetoric. And then you'll hear Democrats, whether it's a CNN show or whatever, they'll be quoting these studies and they'll say that 76% of all political violence is committed by the right. And if you're like, well, how is that remotely possible? Because you and I can't name one incident. Can we? Can you? I would play it. And there was a real, now I'm talking about the Ridiculous Patriot Front, which is obviously a CIA cutout. But I'm talking about, and even they haven't committed any acts of violence. But anyway, but they're absolute fraud. So you and I our lying eyes tell us that there aren't any acts of political violence committed by the right. Where are they? Could you please show me? They, again, seven out of the last 10 mass shooters were trans activists, and the three that weren't were all non-binary, so they were also trans. So 10 out of 10. We know who Charlie Kirk's alleged shooter, which I don't believe is certainly not the sole shooter. I don't even believe he's a shooter. I believe he's a setup guy. I believe he was there, set up to look like the shooter. Tyler Robinson, he was having a relationship with a man transitioning into a woman who wasn't transitioning because he still had a penis, which Tyler Robinson found to be sexually attractive. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I digress. That's who we're dealing with the left. That's who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, with the left. Here's the problem. Is the studies that they cite, one of them is an Anti-Defamation League study, you know, Jonathan Goldblatt. So they say that 76% of political violence is committed by the right, but none of us can think of one right-wing violence incident. Can you? I can't. So where did they get that from? Well, just so you know, every act of violence against government or perceived against the government is credited to the right. In the ADL study and all the other studies that they cite on these leftist shows, every one of them, every act of political violence. So all of BLM's violence over the last 10 years have been credited to us. All of Antifa's political violence, Chaz, Chop, all the political violence, the 30 murdered during the BLM Antifa riots of the Summer of Love were all credited to us, just so you know. That's how it works. The arsons now in Palisades will be credited to us. Because it's against the government, even though we know that we didn't do any of these things. This latest one, Tommy Robinson video, leftist maniac Lewis Gary threatened to detonate a tent filled with 200 explosives outside of a D.C. church where they were going to have a service for the Supreme Court justices. Guess who that's going to be credited to? And all these studies at leftist universities. That would be credited to you and I, even though this person was anti-ICE, anti-Jew, anti-Supreme Court, and hated the Catholic Church. Certainly not right-wing positions, but it'll be credited to us anyway because it's an act of political violence. Just so you see how all statistical data is manipulated against you and I when it's done at universities or NGOs or other government agencies. So leftist maniac Lewis Gary threatened to detonate a tent filled with 200 explosives outside D.C. church during attempted negotiation with officers. Play for me.
Well, we are learning more about the suspect that was arrested outside a D.C. cathedral ahead of a mass marking the start of the Supreme Court's new term.
Police are revealing he had a massive supply of homemade explosives.
Bizarre guy Griff Jenkins joins us live outside Washington with the details. Hey, Griff.
Yeah, good morning, Brian Ainslie and Lawrence. What's really frightening about this is that Supreme Court justices were expected to attend this annual Red Mass, which marked the start of a new Supreme Court term and honored the judiciary. A 41-year-old South Jersey man named Lewis Gary arrested on the cathedral's steps with more than 200 homemade explosives. They included Molotov cocktails and vials containing nitromethane, a compound used in the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, court documents show that Gary threatened to detonate the devices and handed officers writings expressing anger towards the Catholic Church, the Supreme Court justices, members of the Jewish faith, and get this, ICE. When officers told the man they were going to forcibly remove him, the court documents also say that he responded by telling cops, several of your people are going to die from one of these. Now, D.C. police said in a statement, during the arrest, officers observed multiple suspicious items, including vials of liquid and possible fireworks inside of the suspect's tent. The suspect is preliminarily charged with unlawful entry, threats to kidnap or injure a person in possession of a Molotov cocktail. The investigation is ongoing. Reports say that that security threat actually prevented the justices from attending, and now that suspect, Lewis Gary, is being held without bond, facing multiple charges, including possession of a weapon of mass destruction in furtherance of a hate crime.
See, you saw the video. How does the tent end up in front of the place to begin with? I mean, it just shows you the absolute worthlessness of law enforcement and security for that church or whatever. You allow this person to just build a tent full of explosives right in front of your front door? Oh, why would you do that? Well, you don't want to offend the guy.
No.
I'll offend him. Try building a tent anywhere on my property. We kick everybody out of here. Homeless people, everybody off our property. Tom, you should love these people. I love them by escorting them off the property via trespass warning. That's how I love them. Because you know what? Get your butt to work. get off the drugs and get your butt to work. But anyway, I just want everybody to know, according to leftist studies, Lewis Gary will now be credited to you and I. So then you will hear on these CNN and MSNBC shows when they're having these debates, well, these studies say that all the acts of domestic terrorism and political violence are committed by the right. None of them are committed by us. All of the leftist political violence and domestic terrorism is credited to us. Just so you know, that's how it works. All the statistical data is like that. I could go into rape data in Europe, Pakistani low IQ, inbred data inside of UK and how that's manipulated, but I've done all that already. So let's go to California, Western Lensman video. February 2025, here's Gavin Newsom lecturing us about how these fires started. And then you're going to see the sheriff's office from October of 2025. Play it for me.
You can't rebuild the same. So we have to rebuild with science. We have to build with climate reality in mind. And this is the reality, the new reality of extremes, extreme heat, extreme drought. You have droughts and rain bombs. You have flooding at the same time you're dealing with droughts, all happening concurrently. There's a new reality, the world we're living in. And if you're not believing science, you have to believe your own eyes, your own lived experience. We have to wake up to this reality. We cannot be in denial about what's going on with Mother Nature.
I'm proud of the professionalism and dedication shown by our detectives and the team who work collaboratively with our federal, state, and local partners. That teamwork ultimately led to the arrest of the suspect responsible for this devastating crime.
So let's just all pretend for a couple minutes here. Let me get his name. That Jonathan, let's have some fun. Let's all pretend that Jonathan Renderneck, 29, arrested in Florida but burnt down California, is the sole arsonist. Okay, that's the sole arsonist. Let's all pretend that for now. I believe he's guilty of probably lighting some fires and participating in 12,000 homes being lost and 12 people dying, I believe it is. So, but here you have Gavin Newsom, you know, the day or so after the fires or right after the fires, claiming that we all need to have this new reality, this climate new reality, that it's climate. I guess that suddenly via temperatures, there's spontaneous combustion now? Because here's the thing, California is certainly not hotter than Florida. Certainly not. Listen, how many of you have been to Arizona? Certainly not hotter than Arizona. I was there for a police convention in Phoenix, Arizona. I got done with the conference, went out to go jogging at midnight, and it was 101 degrees.
Yeah, it's hot.
So please, why does Phoenix never spontaneously combust? I mean, it's kind of weird, isn't it? And that now, not only that, but I'm waiting, because I'm sure that Gavin Newsom is scheduling a press conference right now to clarify his comments and say, you know what? It never was climate change. It was arsonists that did it. It's coming, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure that he's going to retract all of the ridiculous, nonsensical statements that he made.
Like every time.
And lies, right? Bold-faced pathological lies, knowing that they're bold-faced pathological lies, because he's a liar who lies about his lies. That's who he is. Gets up every day, looks his wife and kids in the face, and they all pretend like he's anything but who he is, which is a disgusting, repulsive liar who lies about his lies. That's who he is. So I'm just waiting for the retraction news conference, because he blamed the fires on spontaneous combustion. I wanted the billionaire donor question, just put it on a spreadsheet and explain it to me, like I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Show me how exactly climate spontaneously starts fires. Climate change or climate cooling. I mean, global warming or global cooling, both have been espoused and both never panned out. So they switched to climate change because the climate is always changing. So you can blame anything on it. We're supposed to have 5,000 hurricanes this year in Florida. It's supposed to be gone. We've had none. So it's weird how none of it ever happens. Leonard Nimoy said that we were all going to freeze to death by the time the 80s got here. That never happened. So Al Gore said that Miami was going to be underwater in 2009, Manhattan in 2014. That never happened. But none of them ever schedule a news conference to get behind a podium and apologize for all of their false prophecies.
Nope.
Weird, isn't it? Their false predictions and everything else. So I'm just waiting for Gavin Newsom to do this, because now it turns out that a guy lit the fires. We know this numerous people, because there's video footage of numerous people lighting fires. It's video footage of it. Just like the Canadian fires, that those also spontaneously combusted.
Of course.
The ones I'm trying to remember, was it Greece or was it Italy? I can't remember, Sicily, whatever it was. The fires over in the EU, the mass fires, Canada, EU, they all found the arsonist. After all the politicians came out, bent over, spread their butt cheeks, and said that it was climate change that caused it, but then it turned out to be arsonists every single time. Because they're actually dispatched, those very politicians are part of NGOs that dispatch those arsonists to go out and set the fires to blame it on climate change so all of them get wealthy off of the NGO money. That's the point of all of it, just so you know. And they're like, well, won't you eventually ruin the world? They don't care as long as the world's not ruined before they die. That's all they care about. Clintons, Bidens, Obamas, and all the rest of them. So now it turns out that the arsonists were the one who set the fire. And again, Gavin Newsom says it's climate change. Okay, so why did you never, if it's climate change, what does that have to do with never, ever cutting the brush back? Why is it that your electrical infrastructure is somewhere, was built, and this is not an exaggeration, between 1930 and 1950? Tom, you're exaggerating. No, I'm not. Every electrical pole that you see in California and a lot of the electrical infrastructure was put in between 1930 and 1955. That's going to be really fire retardant, isn't it? That'll work out really well. And then you don't even cut the dry brush away from them. And then you know you're getting 80-mile-an-hour winds. And then you get told you better dispatch the fire department, and you don't, but not that that would make any difference anyway, because there's no water in the hydrants, because there was no water in the reservoir that feeds the hydrants in a gravity-fed system that was drained by Gavin Newsom suspiciously 12 months before, and everybody in the Palisades lost their insurance 1 month before the fires.
Oops.
That's interesting. Oh, and Will, this is your favorite thing. Lahaina's the same thing. Mm-hmm. They all lost their insurance within a year before the fire, too. Can't get insurance. Too expensive.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? That's how it is. That's exactly how it is. And that's exactly what happened. All right, where the heck am I? Am I at Disclosed TV?
Yes, sir.
All right, Disclosed TV video. Now, authorities announced Jonathan Rinderneck, 29, arrested. Play for me.
Good morning. I'm Bill Asaley, the acting United States Attorney for the Central District of California. Today, we are announcing the arrest of 29-year-old Jonathan Rinderneck for igniting a fire that ultimately burned down the Palisades earlier this year, killing 12 people, destroying more than 6,800 structures, both homes and businesses, and damaging over 1,000 more buildings. The complaint unsealed today charges the defendant with destruction of property by means of fire, a felony that carries a mandatory minimum 5-year federal prison sentence and is punishable by up to 20 years in federal prison. The defendant was arrested yesterday on a federal criminal complaint near his Florida residence, and he's expected to make his initial appearance today in the federal court in Orlando, Florida. I stress that the complaint contains allegations, and every defendant is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. The allegations in the...
All right, go right to the next one for me, Will. Angry Frog tweet. Here is the right-wing extremist Floridian arsonist who burned down the Pacific Palisades in California. That's him right here. So this, again, is going to be credited to our account of political violence, because anything against the government, no matter how they construe it against the government, will be credited to right-wing violence, although we never do anything against the government. When do we? Name it. Ever. Never. So there you go. 29-year-old Jonathan Rinderneck, here he is right here. He just looks like a right-winger, doesn't he? Has been arrested on a criminal complaint charging him with maliciously starting the deadly Palisades fire in January, from Angry Frog. So there you go. That's that for the fire so far. And by the way, last I checked, 4 permits had been issued for 12,000 homes. No rebuilds, and the exact same thing in Lahaina, Hawaii. Exact same thing. No, I haven't been rebuilt. It's weird. And now they want to rebuild, like Gavin Newsom said, with the climate in mind. So that will be a 15-minute city where they have climate-controlled units. And who controls the climate-controlled units? BlackRock's power company. That's who controls it. And your entrance and exit also. And as they build it also for the Olympics. But that will be for all of you smelly, all of us, smelly Walmart people. But right next to those 15-minute tombs with the 800 square foot tomb apartments and your 57 vaccinations will be luxury mansions filled with Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass. That's what they plan. That's the real thing. It's always that way. It's always the playbook, because the demons are exactly the same demons there have been since Jesus walked the earth physically. All right, let's go to Democratic Party violence. Breaking 9/11 video. Judge releases suspects who rammed, released them. Here we are, Sweet Home Chicago. These are the suspects that rammed the vehicles. I remember, let me just rehash this for everybody. This is the suspects that rammed into ICE vehicles, surrounded them, and then CPD refused to respond to help them. Remember that one. Anyway, they're released today. Just released. They're just going to release them. Judge releases suspects who rammed ICE vehicles in Chicago, ruling they don't pose a risk to the community. People who basically commit an attempted homicide on federal agents pose no risk to the community. Play for me.
Judy, the judge in this case basically said that neither Miramar Martinez nor Anthony Reese pose a flight risk, and so she has ordered them freed pending their trial. Now, their cases have been jointed together in the same legal complaint, even though both were driving separate vehicles on the day in question, and according to their friends and family, they do not know each other. In court today, prosecutors describe Miramar Martinez and Anthony Reese's actions as extremely dangerous and extremely reckless, saying the two had been following the Border Patrol agent's vehicle for 20 to 30 minutes before the alleged ramming took place Saturday morning, adding that the defendants weren't in the wrong place at the wrong time. The complaint, filed in court, alleges that on October 4th, three Border Patrol officers acting as security detail were driving a silver Chevy Tahoe in Oak Lawn when they were aggressively pursued by what is described as a convoy of civilian vehicles. That convoy, alleges the complaint, was attempting to box them in when they were struck first by Martinez, then moments later by Ruiz near 39th Place in Kedzie. Martinez was shot five times by agents, then arrested at a repair shop a mile away, while Reese was arrested at a gas station nearby. The criminal complaint, including photos of the CBP-driven vehicle, along with photos of both Martinez's and Reese's vehicles, with damage they say is consistent with the ramming.
All right, so there you go. They were actually following ICE. How do they follow them? Through Democratic Party ICE following apps.
Yep.
That's how they were following them. So they're following them all over the city. Wasn't wrong place, wrong time. It wasn't a spontaneous meeting. They were following them, rammed their cars, pinned them in, and they had a riot around their cars. And then CBP, Chicago Police Department, refused to respond to back up the ICE officers. And everybody, the chief, the lieutenant, the watch commander, and even cops who refused to go, because there comes a time where you cannot obey orders.
Yep.
Need to all be freaking fired for that. Pension's gone, everything. Bring them under federal charges, whatever it takes. Let's go to the next one. Adam Hughes video. Chicago Latin Kings boss Juan Espinoza, sounds like a great guy, has offered $10,000 to have Border Patrol Chief Gregory Bovino killed. Play for me.
We have other breaking news that we're following this afternoon. A high-ranking member of a street gang is charged with putting a hit out on a senior law enforcement official involved with Operation Midway Blitz. Police arrested 37-year-old Juan Espinoza Martinez this morning. And according to the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Chicago, Martinez sent a Snapchat message stating, quote, 2K on information when you get him and 10K if you take him down. The Tribune reports the alleged target was Border Patrol Chief Gregory Bovino. A court date has not been set.
Now, I want to congratulate Will, Aaron, and myself, and everybody, 1,801 people that are watching right now, because that will also be credited to our account as far as political violence, because that's an act against a government official. So you and I will be credited to that. So whenever you hear those, you're like, Tom, get past the reports. I'm just telling you how it all works. So when you're actually, when you're debating one of these leftists and they quote these studies out of Columbia or ADL, every act of political violence is attributed to the right. Every act is. So there you go. And that will also be from, you know, from this right winger, Latin Kings boss Juan Espinoza Martinez. His threat against the great human being, by the way, Chief Gregory Bovino, will be credited to our account of political violence. 76% of all political violence is committed by the right. When we can't name one case, not name one in 2025, 2024, 2023, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18. So you can't name any. You can't name any. And any ones that were actually credited to us were CIA ops, like, you know, like Waco, like Oklahoma City. All right, let's go to the next one. Gateway Pundit tweet. Boston police officers hospitalized with broken bones after being attacked by Democratic Party Hamas supporters during Students for Justice in Palestine march to celebrate October 7th. To celebrate October 7th with 1,400 people massacred, raped, and murdered. That's great, isn't it? Well, and again, here's the thing with this. I love to get into this because I actually do like complexity. Because you're like, well, what do you do? Are you pro-Israel or you're pro-Hamas? Look me in the eye, everybody who's watching right now. Neither. You don't have to be pro either one of them. You certainly should be anti-Hamas. And then what you should be with Israel is strategic. Like, you look at 10-7, you go, how in the world could that ever have happened with one of the most advanced air defense strategic systems on the planet? How does that ever happen where paragliders come in and rape and murder? So there was obviously, and again, you had 10,000 troops 40 minutes away, and it took 6 hours to get there. So you need to criticize Israel for that. You need to criticize Israel for their starving of Gazans to death, for sure. But then you have to look at Hamas, who also starves their own citizens to death. They're doing it right now. As Israel's starving Gazans to death, so is Hamas. So what side do you choose? I choose Israel more often than Hamas. I never side with Hamas. Never, because they're Muslim. They believe in a demonic God. So I do not side with them. And it's so interesting here that even people on the right got so upset about that activist who's orchestrating events like this being kicked out of the country by Marco Rubio, having his visa taken away. Why would anybody ever be mad about that? A visa is a privilege. And if you're going to be out here marching around and you are even marginally connected to an officer being assaulted, you're gone. Your visa's gone. And by the way, we shouldn't be issuing any visas to Muslims anyway, because every Muslim is an invader. That is who they are. They will come in and they'll do their taqiyya that we went over last night. They'll lie to you. Talk about we're all part of the same faith until they have enough numbers to expel you from your home or kill you. That has always been the Muslim way. Always. All right, let's go to the next one. I just want to show you, this is the violent left. It's from the guy running for AG in Virginia. So we covered the person running for governor in California. And it's Abigail Spanberger is running for governor of Virginia against Glenn Youngkin. And this is her AG, her not gubernatorial candidate, but the person she wants to win. The AG's probably backtracked off him a little bit because he got caught sending out these texts. That was a couple years ago, but I think it's 2022. So we just read them right here. They say nice things about everyone, laugh out loud. If those guys die before me, this is Jay Jones talking right now. This is the guy who wants to be the chief law enforcement officer for the state of Virginia. If those guys die before me, I will go to their funerals to piss on their graves, send them out awash in something. And the guy just responds, Jay Jones, I don't even get that. Like, Jay Jones, stop. Three people, two bullets. Gilbert, Hitler, and Pol Pot. That was his political opponent at the time, was a guy named Gilbert. Gilbert gets two bullets to the head. Spoiler, put Gilbert in the crew with the two worst people you know, and he receives both bullets every time. Jay, please stop. Laugh out loud. Okay. It really bothers me when you talk about hurting people or wishing death on them. Unbelievable. I'm glad these were exposed. Go to the next for me. So here's this other one. You weren't simply asking questions and you know it. I genuinely was. I wasn't attacking you. I was trying to understand your logic. You weren't trying to understand. You were talking about hoping Jennifer Gilbert's children would die. He was hoping his political opponent's children would die in their mother's arms. What does he say to this? He gets accused of that, of hoping that his political opponent's children die in their mother's arms. What is his response? He gets accused of espousing that rhetoric. What does he say? Yes, I've told you this before. Only when people feel pain personally do they move on policy. That sounds just like Anthony Fauci. Force the vaccination, and then everybody will stop resisting the vaccination. Here, what he's saying is people need to die to usher in alt-left ideology. Really, Nazi ideology. Now, how does this all happen? Go to the next for me, Will. And wokeness video. Here's Oprah a year ago. Play it for me.
Sit this one out. We don't get to sit this one out. If we don't show up tomorrow, it is entirely possible that we will not have the opportunity to ever cast a ballot again.
When did that ever happen? All of these threats of what's going to happen. If Donald Trump wins, we're never going to get an election again. Donald Trump's already won. How many elections were there since 2017? Many, many elections, just like there will be in 2026. They just lie and they espouse that things are going to happen that will never happen. And it incites the lunatics on the left to commit acts of violence that are then attributed to people like you and me. All right, that's good for the night. 10:18. Oh, this is the last podcast for the week, everybody. I've got my son's fight is on Friday night. He'll be on the UFC Fight Pass. If you want to watch it, he has the same name as me, Tom Leipis. So get the UFC Fight Pass app. You can watch him live. He was fighting in the CFFC, Cage Fury Fighting Championship on Friday night. He's the first fight on the main card. If you want to watch it, I got to do his weight drop with him tomorrow. It's basically an all-day operation. And then I will be there for the fight, obviously, on Friday night. So pray for him, too. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. Nate Dad won. Whoa, huge. Nate Dad won $120. Thank you so much, Nate Dad won. Alligator Alcatraz, $20. Thank you so much. Jules, 21 hours. Thank you so much, $10. Love you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Hey, join us. Let's break our record on Sunday morning since I'm not going to see you until Monday of next week on the podcast. But you can join us Sunday morning with a church service or preaching that's just like the podcast. So join us. Foundation Church, 13,000 South Tamiami Trail. If you can drive here, Northport, Florida, or join us online, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. If you want a church like this podcast, join us in church Sunday morning, 10 a.m. All right, love you all. God bless you. If I don't see you Sunday morning, I'll see you Monday at 9 o'clock, as always. One more time. God bless you.